Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker.
Lord have mercy, folks. Do we have a lot to talk about? This is Bobby Rivers. Thank you for listening to our podcast, which is entitled Mocha. Mocha stands for Man of a Certain Hue and Age. And yes, my years and my color inform my views on what's going on in showbiz, politics, love, sex, family, all that stuff. No. I'm here with my producer and good friend, Keith Price. How are you doing?
Ooh, child. I'm having a day, sir.
I know you are.
I've been having a bit of a day, but...
You know, it's just... You are in my prayers all the time. I put on Twitter, please hire this man.
Give a bitch a gig, yo.
Oh, please. Now, you know what?
Give us
it's
both still a gig.
Sexcapades are still in the news.
Wow.
Because we've started the last two podcasts talking about, you know, sexual misconduct. So let's kind of push that to like maybe number two, because I don't want to confuse people thinking, did I hear this one already?
No, we're on like four and five of them now. What do we had? Harvey Weinstein, who like really broke it down. And
really
then,
broke it down.
Then Kevin Spacey. Brett Ratner.
Louis C.K.
And then
Louis C.K. was a big surprise.
That was this week. That was like when it happened, I was like, oh my God, I gotta call Bobby.
I thought, then you know, I just like logged on to a Twitter a few minutes ago and I went, Richard Dreyfuss.
The son, his son with Kevin Spacey, and now he's probably got the child.
All right. Okay.
So let's
you know
hit
what?
It.
I changed my mind. Let's talk about the sex right now.
Yes.
Because, and here, I want to make a point about this. Now, for all of these allegations, they should not have happened. Mm-hmm. You know, it's we have talked about this, toxic masculinity and this white male power, mm-hmm. you know, against women and, you know, the whole domino effect on that. When I read the Richard Dreyfuss accusation, and I went, you know what? I think it seemed like, okay, this goes back to the early 80s, mm-hmm. before he got himself together. I think he was one of those people who did some therapy and rehab time, mm-hmm. and, you know, he got himself together.
Wow.
I interviewed him early in my TV career. When I was with WISN-TV, the ABC affiliate in Milwaukee. And he was the first celebrity I ever got snappy with. Ooh. Like, you know, it was close to having an argument.
Wow.
Because we had driven from, my cameraman and I had driven from Milwaukee to Chicago to get to this nice hotel and do an interview for PM Magazine. So, and the national office wanted to see the interview because there was a chance they were going to air it nationally. Now, I only needed 10 minutes of his time. And that's what I told his publicist. The publicist was thrilled because I said, you know, I've got my questions. We've got clips from the movie that he was promoting. 10 minutes of his time, that's all I'll need. So it's not like I was shooting a network special. Mm-hmm. So the cameraman and I were so proud of ourselves because we got there I still remember this, 45 minutes early. So the lights were all set up. All Richard Dreyfuss had to do was come in, sit down. We put the microphone on him and then begin. Richard Dreyfuss showed up about 45 minutes late. And he walked into the room with an attitude. I mean, he looked like unironed and disheveled. And he walked in looking sour. He had a mean look on his face. There was not a hello. I'm Richard Dreyfuss. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being late. And you are. And tell me about your program. He walked in, walked right up to me and went, you got 5 minutes.
Wow.
And I said, what makes you think I want even that much?
Ooh.
And I'd had it. And I think it caught him.
I'm sure it did.
You know?
What?
So he sat down and he did give me the 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, his movie didn't do anything. It was Whose Life Is It Anyway? Where he played the paraplegic. Yeah. But, you know, he was a star at the time. I'm pretty sure he had won the Oscar for Goodbye Girl. He had definitely done Jaws and Close Encounters.
Yeah.
So he was big time. But I think this was a different Richard Dreyfuss. And I saw a quote from him in which he said, you know, back in the early 80s, he was a different guy. He was disrespecting women, disrespecting himself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that he grew up. He matured. So, but the way things are now, if you see online that there's an accusation, especially against a male, mm-hmm. then that male's name goes on the list.
Yes.
You know, nobody's even waiting to get a statement. Mm-mm. That he, you know, that he confirming or denying. It just goes on the list. And the domino effect is not only is the gentleman maybe out of work, but a lot of other people are too.
Right.
Like if you were a new actor,
yes.
and you had a supporting role in the Louis C.K. movie, you were probably thinking, man, people are going to see it, and now I'm finally getting a big break, but now it's not going to open.
No, it's not going to open. They canceled the premiere here in New York. This was supposed to open this week, and they canceled in advance of the story that came out about him in the Times. Right. And what it's like there's more stuff now that the FX management company now has dumped Louis C.K.
His big management team has dumped him.
Yes. And
so and like there's another name that came up, Jeremy Piven.
Ugh, well, he's just
right.
I mean, again, I've not ever met him, but every detail of anything that I've ever heard about him and the things that people I know who have had interactions with him, I ain't surprised. That's not surprising.
Okay, so a third woman has come out with allegations about his sexual misconduct. And so a lot of people must be thinking, oh, Lord, because he just started a new TV series on CBS.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
Which, you know, and executives are now, they're dropping product with the, you know, the Kevin Spacey is being replaced in a movie that he already made. Hey,
can you imagine that? They are
Christopher.
Going to
they're reshooting his stuff everything. With Christopher Plummer.
Isn't that amazing?
Amazing. So the point is, like with Piven, you know, it's oh my god. It's people must be thinking, oh my god, if they were to drop his show, that's a lot of actors are out of work. It's not just
the actors, the crew,
people, the caterer. It's a lot.
Everybody that has now have taken the idea of taking the next 6-8 months of their life to dedicate to this project if it actually takes off, and now they're not even getting that opportunity.
Exactly.
Like I feel bad because again it goes back to that domino effect of just the actions and behavior of one person causing this ripple effect that you just don't even believe. And what happens is that, you know what you learn about a lot of this, and this is the funniest thing that I noticed, is that it's about all of that money. Think about all of the money that's being lost and all of the money that's been invested in some of these allegedly nefarious folks, and their behavior is the thing that gets them in trouble. Their behavior is ruining the livelihood of Key Grip number 7.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And that's the same Key Grip that if he happened to be young, cute, or whatever, working on the set of House of Cards, probably got groped by Kevin Spacey. So he had, like, not only did he grope me, but now I ain't even going to get my paycheck because this guy it's done. And I think that's the question. That's the moral question. It's like, what is it that we're ultimately willing to let money ignore? You know?
Correct. I sure do.
Look, I mean, think about it. Like, Harvey Weinstein was, you know, already had in his contract that they were going to be paying people off for sexual harassment. You know what I mean? If he's ever accused. So, like, there's money that's put aside for this kind of craziness in spite of the big picture that they're trying to create, literally and figuratively, I guess, when you talk about movies. But the big pictures that they're creating is worth putting up with the allegedly groping Kevin Spacey and the manhandling, you know, the alleged manhandling of one of the young starlets. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Or rape, God forbid, of some of these starlets, these alleged starlets. So, like, there is so much money that's tied into this that I don't know how they're going to, how, you know, like, I think this backlash that we're seeing with Harvey Weinstein, with Kevin Spacey, with Louis C.K., with Brett Ratner. It's very interesting that these are very interestingly powerful white men that are now being brought down. And it's sort of like, you know, like I was saying to you before about my Mad Men theory and how Mad Men, for some reason, just reignited the flame in straight heterosexual white men to think that they can just do and say whatever they want.
And speaking of, there's another case. Matthew Weiner, yes, creator of Mad Men, has been there are allegations of sexual misconduct being hurled at him.
Wow. So now, again, going back to my personal theory, that
which is affecting an upcoming new project that he's got.
Wow. Wow. It's like now the articles are today in sexual misconduct.
Yes.
It's like it's become that now.
That's what it feels like. You know, with the we have had so many revelations about male sexual misconduct that it's now like the birthday greetings on the Today Show with Smuckers.
Mm-hmm. Every day is a new one.
Today's masturbating male is fill in the blank. Try Smuckers.
You know? But it makes me nervous because, again, how much more of this are we going to keep seeing? Because, like I said before, this is corporate America's turn now. I mean, we're getting all these moments happening now within the world of show business, but this is one that everybody seems to be looking at and paying attention to. It's like, but, you know, the corporate America world must be even worse because there's even more money involved in all of that stuff that's going on. You know what I'm saying?
And Hollywood can't keep shelving these projects.
They can't.
You know, because of, you know, a whiff of sexual misconduct. Because that gets to be too costly.
You know, and again, this is what makes me, kind of angry in a weird way. Because here you are, you and I both thinking about we want work, we want to be doing work, we want to have access to some of these things that would get us to do the work that we'd love to do and be a part of. And we're watching the industry itself kind of implode a little bit because these particular people, especially at the top of the food chain, are the ones that made it impossible for us to even get an opportunity to get a gig. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Like,
they wouldn't have the chubby, fat, gay guys who are funny and laughing upstairs because, well, we're not cute and white.
we couldn't even get into the lobby for an interview.
So I want to feel bad for them, but I mean, maybe once these guys are gone, then we can start seeing more women doing things and start seeing more people of color getting more access to things because these folks that were in the middle of all of the decision making are kind of gone now. And we're realizing that their bad attitude and their bad behavior is not necessarily the thing that's going to get us the best work possible. So I feel bad for you, Louis C.K., but, you know, I could have been an extra in one of your things. I couldn't get in.
You know, same here. I wanted to be an extra in one of his things, too.
And I liked his show. That's what was really kind of sad for me.
Man, you know what? And here's another thing. It's like a number of these guys have kids.
Mm-hmm. Daughters.
Louis's a dad. Weinstein has kids.
Mm-hmm. You know, and they don't think about it. They don't seem to think about it, except, well, Weinstein thought about it when he told that girl, you know, I have on the honor of my children.
My daughter.
He's like, really? You tried to molest some woman before,
you
allegedly?
Tried to molest her.
And now you're thinking about your daughter.
You bring up the fact that you've got a daughter.
And you're trying to molest
And then
someone.
You ejaculate onto a potted plant. okay.
It's like...
But you can't deal with the concept of giving a black actress a lead role in a movie.
Because that's too heady. It's too much for us to think about. I mean, really, the marketing values, the numbers don't crunch up. I mean, black people don't sell movies. Blah, 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 yakety schmackety. Meanwhile, you're jerking off in the corner. Fabulous. Fucking fabulous. This is where we're getting our entertainment from, people. These are the people in charge of green lighting.
These are the people who green light what we want to do.
The ones as they green light it and they're jerking off in the corner. Aren't we the lucky ones? God forbid, man.
Yeah, you know, they're not going to have us there because we'd be singing Thumbelina. Thumbelina, Thumbelina, tiny little thing. Thumbelina dance.
You know? And again, I'm always thinking, it's like, what would I do if I found myself in that position and, like, you know, a Harvey Weinstein type was trying to get at me? It's like, I can make you a star. I can make you a star. I'm like, well, I mean.
Yeah, I've thought about that too. Only, but I was never in that situation with me. It was the opposite thing. Here, I put it like this. And I do not mean to be shady to the gay male community.
Yeah, but whatever. They deserve it.
So, but in my long career, straight guys in TV production didn't care if I looked like Shrek. If they felt that I had the talent as a performer and a writer, they hired me because they looked at the big picture and said, we need this project to be the best it can be. So there'll be more episodes and we can all go to the bank.
Right. Right.
The gay male executives in TV totally disregarded all my talent. And they were thinking, I don't want to see Bobby on Fire Island in a pair of Speedos. So they're bringing their midnight club behavior into the workplace at noon. And not even giving me a chance to audition because they don't get that boom chicka wah wah
when I walk in the room.
When they look at me. And I cannot tell you the number of times that I have not gotten a project to maybe host, you know, the pilot of something. And later on, I hear, we should have hired you because the hot looking guy that they did hire.
Was
who had
terrible.
Probably just learned to walk erect that day, could not do it. He could not read the teleprompter. He stood there and said, hello, I'm state your name. No, that's state your name. Oh.
This is so funny. It's just, it makes me think of, I remember many, many, many years ago, when I was doing my comedy show in the East Village and I got picked to come and audition for, this was right before Logo TV was coming to the air and they had had a plan of having gay comedians be part of the interstitial conversations, right? And so I went to the audition and this fabulous woman, I guess she was a lesbian, she loved me. She just went on about, oh, my God, you're so funny. Oh, my God, you're so hilarious. And you're just, oh, my God, your energy is so wonderful. And I was like, oh, my God, well, thank you. And so then she said to me that they're planning on shooting. This was like I did it in December. They were going to be shooting in January right before the thing was opening to launch. And she was like, I think you'll be perfect. You'll be great. You'll be great. I never heard from them. Come to turn out now, a lot of my other friends who were comedians who also happened to be gay were picked to be a part of that event, and when they were there, they met the quote unquote black gay comic that they brought into the mix, because you know we're all, there's one type of everything, and he literally had like that Jan Brady moment in the camera when he's in the set with all of these people, and so he wouldn't, like, he just kind of like stared a lot in the camera and didn't really respond, and so the person who picked, you know, she was part of the thing, showed up at one of my comedy shows later on, a couple of weeks later after the stuff started to air. And she said to me, she's like, oh my God, Keith. She's like, I just want you to know that it was not my choice to have that guy. And I said, let me guess. The other guy was sleeping with the decision-making producer. And she went, exactly. And I said, well, you know, here's my theory with that. If you're going to do something like that, if you're going to be willing to sleep with anybody to get the gig, right?
Yes.
And you get the gig and then you're terrible, then you really are a despicable human being, because at least if you were really, really good, then people would say, well, you know what? Sometimes you got to get your breaks the way you get them. And
that's true.
If you got that break and you were fabulous and sensational and the world loves you, then you know what? Sleeping with that other person really was inconsequential. But if you get the gig because you're basically banging the guy that's making the thing and then you don't deliver, then it is the most offensive thing to me. Because, again, everybody said, well, if you're looking for a black gay comic that's funny, why didn't you call Keith? Or, you know, now that I've been doing the podcast thing for a while, I told you about the time when someone, my friend who's a publicist, was sitting in a meeting and they were talking to each other. And the person said to him, oh, my God, you know, I would love to get like a Keith Price style interview for this particular guest. And my friend looked at him and says, well, why don't you just call Keith Price?
Man, I've been there.
Why don't you call him? He'll do the interview, I'm sure.
Who are you telling? How many times did I watch Billy Bush on TV and I'm sitting there looking like Baby Jane Hudson about to make Blanche's lunch? You know?
You know, and but again, it's that whole process of, you know, it's a different kind of racism. It's a different kind of homophobia. And it's weird because it's turned on to us by our own people. You know, right. It's like there are certain people of color who are probably not listening to this podcast because the two of us are big old homosexuals. That won't listen. And the thing is, it's not that we're sitting here talking about the things we're going to do when we're naked with other people. Rah, 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 rah. They just don't want to listen because they're like, oh, my God, those two guys are gay and I don't want to deal with that kind of stuff. And that's black people. That's other black folks. So, you know, so I'm conditioned to see that happen more often to us. And I think what's happening with all of this stuff with the sexual things and the everything is that white folks are not really used to having this kind of fingers pointing at them for their behavior.
Really, and these men,
men especially.
In this multitude. Oof. I mean, damn.
And then, you know, the latest article about Weinstein and him hiring, like, you know, these, like, Mossad agents and stuff, former Mossad agents, to do all this intel to find out about the people and what they've said and how they're going to use that stuff again. Like, are you kidding me?
And you know, they don't work for minimum wage.
Hell no. I'm telling you, when they decided to get rid of Harvey Weinstein from the Weinstein Group or the Weinstein Company, whatever it is, I'm sure when they did their cost analysis stuff, that those numbers probably rolled in there too. It's like, not only are we paying these people for the sexual harassment suits, but we also have to pay for all this investigation and all this litigation.
Like, for your Mission Impossible force.
Exactly.
Like, dress
got,
up.
They got black ops money. You know what I mean? But they got black ops money to pay for, you know, finding out information to ruin and destroy other people's lives because this person is an animal like that.
And meanwhile, you and I are buying the cheapest sandwich we can get at Subway.
Honey, vegetables only. On whole wheat. With a splash of honey mustard because I don't want too much condiments and extra spinach.
Oh, Lord. And that is the way it is.
That's the way it is.
That's the way it is. You know what? And tomorrow, we'll probably wake up and go, oh, no, he didn't. There'll be some new allegation.
Somebody new. I'm hoping, though, that the next one that we do will be somebody from corporate America so that we can kind of shift the light to just away from Hollywood and it becomes about everybody else in the regular working world. You know, it's like it's going to take it is one of these moments where they can watershed this and really make maximum impact and just get everybody. Just get them all.
Amen. I'm so with you there. I am so with you there.
Get them all so that, you know, because I think that once we start that cleanup, it's going to be much easier to start cleaning up the tops. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, we can move up the ladder if we can get these other people out, because those are the ones that are keeping other creatives from getting to other places.
And we need them to get out of the way so somebody can give us a job.
Just give us a job or give us the opportunities to at least get the gigs. You know what I mean?
I do. Listen, I want to, you know, speaking of jobs, I want to just give a shout out to somebody who is doing a great job on CBS. Have you heard of David Begnaud?
The name is familiar.
All right.
I shall look him up as you talk.
David Begnaw is a reporter for CBS News. I think he's a New Orleans native. David Begnaw has done reports from Puerto Rico that have been so gripping, so moving, you know, that Trump should be forced to watch all of the reports that David Begnaw did. And it's, his last name is spelled B-E-G-N-A-U-D, if you want to find him on Twitter, because he's posted his reports on Twitter. Well, okay, he's after the hurricane, there were so many network people there, of course. And then as the days went on, they all went back to New York. And he stayed there. So he's really been deep into Puerto Rico and talking to people and keeping everyone updated and showing that, you know what? They need a lot more than just some bounty paper towels thrown at them. Mm. So he has I watch him and I thought, you know, give this man an award or something, because he has done such magnificent work. And Lin-Manuel is going to be doing a special engagement of Hamilton.
Yes. I heard that they're going to do it at the cultural center that's there.
Yes. And I first heard that via David Begnaw reports.
Mm-hmm. I hope the tickets ain't gonna be as expensive there. I hope we're gonna be doing some free shows with some people, because I don't think they're gonna be having $150 to be spending on the show. I'm just saying. I love you. That's us. I'm just speaking, you know, for real.
Right, because we know they need the help.
They need the help, and they could use a break and have some real entertainment too. But you know, because. Those tickets ain't cheap. I don't mean to be that person.
Really, you know, CBS News, thank you for hiring David Begnaw. He's given us some great reports out of Puerto Rico. And okay, on a personal note,
kind
of
cute.
Lord,
this is why the black people eventually turn off from us, Bobby.
This is why they turn off. He would be my number one pick for a man crush Monday. Oof. Now here's what, because I look at him doing the reports, right? And they give him a close up, and I'm thinking, this is such gripping, vital, provocative news. And he has got dreamy eyes. So while I'm listening to him give me the news, I start to do the Doris Day head tilt. And I'm sitting up there thinking, oh, Lord, if I was just 30 years younger and 20 pounds thinner.
He wouldn't have a chance. That man would be mine.
That's what I think. And David Begnaw does some good reports. Jamie Wax, this guy named Jamie Wax, who's, I think I see him on the CBS Saturday morning show and on CBS Sunday morning, who does some really, really good entertainment reports. So I love his work. And I think he's listened to our podcast a couple of times.
Really?
I do.
You keep it up, baby.
You know I tried to work at CBS Sunday morning, don't you?
Yes.
Because after, you know, for you folks who don't know this, I was at VH1 for 3 years, and I had a talk show, and VH1... and CBS were under the same Viacom corporate umbrella. So while I was on VH1, I was also doing work for CBS late night, because Pat Sajak had a nighttime talk show. And I was a semi-regular on the Pat Sajak show. So I would go, you know, I would fly out to Television City and sit up there, you know, do the Pat Sajak show for, you know, the 500 people that watched it before it got canceled because everybody was watching Arsenio. So when my VH1 days were over, you know, and I was probably being way too vain, but I thought, I'm the first black person to have a talk show on VH1. I interviewed Norman Mailer, Yum Cronin and Jessica Tandy, Meryl Streep, Sally Field, Dominic Dunn. They flew me to London to interview Paul McCartney for a 1-hour special. Yes, I bet you I can be an entertainment contributor for CBS Sunday morning. Don't you know I can never get an interview? I tried for about 10 years. writing letters, email. I went from snail mail to email to calling. I could never get an interview or an audition. And I thought, I'd have been pretty good over there.
Isn't that amazing?
Never. But, you know, Mo Rocca had better luck than I did.
Well, white guy.
And he's interviewing Carol Burnett. I'd love to interview Carol Burnett one day.
I've met her.
You met her?
I've met her. But I was. How was it? It was wonderful. It was everything that you would want it to be because you are like me. You have an appreciation for who she is, what she represents, how she did it, what she has managed to accomplish, and the longevity of the work that she has done from that period forward. You know what I mean? Have that. And so to be standing in the room with the woman who, you know, literally my favorite one is 1, 2, 3, slam! Sorry! It was a beautiful dress. I saw it in the window and I thought I'd have try it on. I mean, you that woman. And then to you add that to meeting Bob Mackie and putting that together in my head over the wall. It's like, you know, those are people who really did influence us in terms of the way that we think about comedy, because we now see that Bob Mackie did things comedically with clothing that then catapulted what Carol Burnett and Harvey Korman, especially Harvey Korman when he played that woman in the soap opera with the big breasts.
Mother Marcus.
You know,
Mackie gave them, I think he realized that Burnett was a brilliant character actress.
Mm-hmm.
And when he put her in, you know, when she saw the costumes, she knew the character.
Exactly. I have a friend of mine who is a performer. She's an improv artist. Her name is Deborah Downing. Shout out to Funky Diva because that's what we can do here. And Funky Diva and I were in an improv group together in Texas Comedy Sports. And the thing that I loved about her is she had exactly what Carol Burnett has. Carol Burnett is somebody that if you gave her a pair of glasses, she could create the entire character behind the pair of glasses.
She's brilliant like that.
You know, you give her a scarf, you give her a wrap, you give her something, and she can find a character, accents and all, with those particular, just with one item, you know, with a hat.
And she thought she was going to be a journalist after she graduated from school.
Really?
It was, if I'm correcting that, because okay, she went to Hollywood High School, mm-hmm. which is where I took my SATs, which to this day, I do not know why I had to go from Watts all the way to a high school in Hollywood to take my SATs.
To show you how smart she is.
Right. And I think she was working for the school newspaper and did some interviews and wound up in a school play. She wound up in a school play and that was it.
And that's it. That's all. And it
that
takes.
Was it. When she heard the applause, went, oh, you know what? I love this.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, she gets to Broadway. She does movies. She does TV. And that show was brilliant.
Yeah.
And you think about that. You talking about Mackie and the brilliance of Carol Burnett and the years, it was like 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reading one of her autobiographies and I went, what a great point. When she said the people that they had on payroll, she said, we had a full orchestra. We had dancers.
Yep.
We had singers. We had Bob Mackie costumes and we had the sets. They could not do that today.
They couldn't. They can't afford it. And it's not that they can't afford it. It's just that they won't spend for it.
And that's a better point. They won't spend for it. It's kind of easier for them now to get aspiring talent
mm-hmm.
and put auditions on the air.
Exactly.
Instead of having, you know, and they had writers. Let's not forget, they mm-hmm. had terrific writers on that show.
Yep. They employed a real industry, and then they produced an amazing product.
They did.
They produced an amazing product, and we don't have that anymore.
I would love to interview her. You know what I would love to do? I would like to ask her about a special moment in her history in the 1960s.
Uh-oh.
I would like to know what it was like to be in the Oval Office one day with President Kennedy, Judy Garland, and Danny Kaye.
Ooh.
I have seen that photo. Can you? I mean, because you know, President Kennedy embraced the arts.
He did. That was not just Marilyn Monroe, but the arts in general.
Okay. But we're talking music, poetry, writing, TV, film.
Which is why we have the Kennedy Center Honors.
Yes, and the thing, and you see the photo of the young Carol Burnett. It's like, there's Carol Burnett. Oh my God, there's Judy Garland. There's Danny Kaye, and it's President Kennedy. What was the conversation? How did that feel? Yeah, I would love to know about that. But, you know, I'm not Mo Rocca, so I'm not working at CBS Sunday Morning.
Right. And now that you put that out there, that's going to be one of Mo Rocca's questions. Just saying. How they are.
Tell me.
But it's, you know what, Bobby? I think that in the end, people are going to discover all of the stuff that we do. And I hope that it's going to be, we'll be alive and still young enough and still vital enough to enjoy whatever fabulousness it brings. Because I am convinced in the end that no matter what it is that we're putting out here in terms of this, it's like there is not a conversation basically like ours. And I have listened to several other people's podcasts, and I'm not dissing them. It's like their conversations are their conversations, and everyone is entitled to their style. But I feel like in terms of the richness that they can get and the funniness that, I mean, both, because, come on, Bobby.
Yeah.
Child, please. We know we're funny. We don't have to tell people that we're funny because funny stuff just comes out of our mouth. We can't help ourselves. But it's good to know that there are some folks that are listening and there are some people that are paying attention. You know, if you happen to be one of those people that are paying attention that knows some people that could actually do something, that would be really fabulous to pass that on. Because I'm just saying, because, you know, they could write their comments to Mocha, M-O-C-H-A-A, with Bobby Rivers at gmail.com. I mean, you know, if they really want to get in touch with you. And if there's something that you're hearing and you want to comment on it,
and we mean that in the benign way.
Absolutely.
Not in the Harvey Weinstein way.
Exactly. Don't be loading up our box with foolishness, so to speak. But but, you know, it is an opportunity. We are out here having this conversation, and these are conversations that people, when they discover them, they're shocked that there's someone actually talking the way that we do talk. And I mean, and the best part is that I'm lucky because I get to guest on so many different podcasts because of where I'm working. It's always fun to be able to interject different sides of my personality in that, so that people can see that we do other things. Like, you know, to have a world-known composer lyricist sitting in the room with me telling me he's a fan of my podcast, that changed my whole focus.
That happened to you, and tell the folks who the composer is.
Michael John Lecusa, who has, there's a movie version of his musical called Hello Again that's now in theaters, and it's probably going to be in theaters for a while, hopefully, and then they're going to start, you know, the whole ramp up with the Netflix and everything else after. So, but it's an interesting musical twist. It's not your standard movie musical, so don't go in there thinking you're gonna see, you know, high kicks and all that other jazz, because it may not be happening for you. It's more of a thoughtful musical. But, you know, but he's a pretty big to-do. I mean, he wrote music for Eartha Kitt when he had his show Wild Party on Broadway. So, you know, there are people that are out there that are listening that do have that kind of clout or do have that kind of cachet. And it would be nice to see them say hi or go to iTunes and get on Mocha and give a comment and let us know what you're thinking.
We would love to hear from them. And as we've mentioned before, one of the reasons why we do this is because we grew up not seeing Black people or Latino people or Asian people being incorporated into the fine arts talk. The film reviews were all mostly done by white dudes. You know, you never see a Black person reviewing a Broadway or off-Broadway. And it's like, wait a minute. We embrace the arts. We've got our viewpoints. We can talk about it, and we're gonna.
And we're gonna. And the beautiful part is that now, thanks to the miracle of podcasting, we can do it anytime we want. Like today.
It's about time for me to break and grab a bite, because, as you know, I had to make my thighs larger. But before I do, I wanted to, because we were talking about Carol Burnett, if you can ever find Carol Burnett, of course, a comedy genius, and also a riveting dramatic actress.
Yes.
If you can ever find her 1979 movie, Friendly Fire.
I knew you were going to say that.
Man!
Amazing.
And it's based on a true story. And she played a Midwest wife and mother.
Mm-hmm.
It's a family in Iowa. Their son served in Vietnam and was killed in the Vietnam War, but not by the enemy.
Right.
He was killed by our own side in what was called friendly fire. Yeah. And the mother is trying to find out from the government what that is and how did it happen. And of course, you know, this it's a journey that is so heartbreaking. You know, her battle to get information.
Yep.
Carol Burnett in Friendly Fire. Oh,
everything.
Everything.
So look at that.
And I want to mention another person from the CBS comedy family who, and this is truth, Keith knows this, Rosemary. Rosemary was on the Dick Van Dyke Show, the original Hollywood Squares, the Doris Day Show on CBS. She's in her 90s. She was one of my early mentors. She helped me early in my career. And we've kept in touch. She's in her 90s. The documentary about Rosemary is getting great reviews. And if you want to find out more about it, it is called Wait for Your Laugh, the Rosemary story. Go to waitforyourlaugh.com and get all the information. I hope her documentary gets nominated for an Oscar.
That would be hilarious.
Wouldn't it? And she's great. Doing interviews. She looks terrific, and she's got great stories.
The longest career in showbiz history.
It's amazing.
The untold story of fame, love, tragedy, and 90 years of American entertainment through the eyes of the woman who did it all, Miss Rosemary.
And she came out recently, and she said, good for these women talking about sexual harassment because it happened to her.
I'm sure it did. I'm sure that it did.
I think this is how the story goes. She probably talks about it in the documentary. She was in a Broadway musical called Top Banana mm-hmm. with Phil Silvers. And the play was basically filmed. There's a movie version, but it's not like movie of a Broadway play like West Side Story or The Sound mm-hmm. of Music. They pretty much put the cameras in the theater.
Right, and filmed it from the stage. That's fine.
Right,
it's called Broadway HD today.
But you watch it, and it's from the early 1950s, and you go, okay, there are some good songs in this, but Rosemary doesn't have a song. And she was, you know, she was a belter.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, she wouldn't put out for a producer, and he cut all her numbers.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Ain't that something?
Wow.
So again, it's waitforyourlaugh.com, the documentary about Rosemary. I am still so grateful to her to this day.
Wow.
Oh, there you have it.
Oh, man. All right.
Okay. All right. So listen.
So Friendly Fire Wait for Your Laugh.
Friendly Fire, Carol Burnett and Friendly Fire, 1979. Wait for Your Laugh. It's playing now in New York. I think it's soon to open wide, but there's the information on the website, waitforyourlaugh.com. And I do not know when the Carol Burnett interview that Mo Rocca did is going to air, but you know, CBS Sunday is worth watching, and we love David Begnaud.
All right.
And Jamie Wax.
Oh, and Nancy Giles too. Don't forget Miss Nancy. Is she
there? You know, man. I love me some Nancy Giles.
Ugh.
Love me some Nancy Giles. Why isn't she on the show more?
Oh, well, we can. There's several answers to that question. I can already tell you, but we'll be accused of just being racist if we say it. So there you go.
Tell folks where they can hear you talk to Broadway and off-Broadway.
Oh my! You can come to Keith Price's Curtain Call, and it's curtainpaul.com, broadwayworld.com's featured podcast, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Mixcloud, and SoundCloud.
And you can find me at Bobby Rivers TV on Twitter, at Bobby Rivers TV on Facebook, and Mocha. We've got a Facebook site.
Facebook page.
Check us out there.
And don't forget, if they're going to find us on iTunes, they can get us on the iTunes and also on Google Play Music. And they can also go there and rate and review our shows. That's very important.
If you did, and get your friends to listen, and keep
subscribe.
In mind,
subscribe. Please subscribe.
Resumes will travel for work.
Hey, I love it. Oh,
okay.
All right. So we'll talk to everybody later. Yeah, right, Bobby.
Yes, you're right. We'll put more Mocha in your mix at a later date.
Wow. All right.
Mocha.